I am Lawrence Furr. I have degrees in organ and in music history. And I want to tell you a little bit about my background. I was originally a religion major in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which my family are all members of. And when I left that church, I didn't know what I was going to do. I had been a music minor. So I went the performance route because there were no music therapy degrees in my area. And I didn't want to leave home for many reasons. So I did the performance organ thing and played, you know, concerts here and there and everywhere. And so I've been working for the Lutheran Church now for 22 years, all in the same place except 2 years were in San Diego at Christ Lutheran. Otherwise, I've been at Trinity. And as she mentioned, Kendra Moan, who many of you have met now, is the lead pastor there. So I was sort of reminiscing with a person in my choir who's a psychologist, and I said, I wonder what my life would have been like if I had done music therapy instead of organ and ended up doing church work. And he said, well, it's never too late. And I said, no, I am not going back to school. I have 3 degrees. I am not going back. And he said, well, there are certification programs. So they were much, you know, shorter, and I did 2 of them. So it still took me 4 years to do the 2 certifications. But so it has become my passion. I discovered after all these years of playing the pipe organ that it was just not my instrument, even though I've made my career doing that. I'm very introverted, except when I get to know you, and then I will talk your ear off. But so I decided to do harp because it is the main instrument that is used for harp therapy and therapeutic music. There are a few others, primarily the Native American flute, which I also play. And some people do guitar, but the vast majority of us that do this work use the harp. Some people use the larger Celtic harp. I don't know of anyone that uses the big pedal harp in this kind of work. It's just too big for a hospital setting. But a lot of people, including me, have used sort of the larger Celtic harp. But when I started studying harp, I took to it like a duck to water. So I absolutely love playing the harp. So that is how I got to where I am. I have been working now for 5 years at our county hospital, JPS Health Network. It's our county hospital. It's fairly large. We have over 5,000 employees. And so it's a fairly large hospital. And I play in all departments. So when you do these certification programs, you have to do so many hours of your internship in a hospital and so many hours in hospice settings. So the people that do what I do, mostly we play in hospices, and there are a lot of people in nursing homes, and then there are some that play in hospitals. It's a little bit more difficult to get into hospital because of, for many reasons, protocols and all of this, but when I started my internship, I let them know that when I finished, I wanted to, you know, find a position that, where I was paid. So I was very lucky in that the head of volunteers at that point had a degree in music, so she was sold from the beginning. And one of the executive vice presidents who she was under also is a musician, so I sort of got into it a little more easily. So now I play in all departments. I play in surgery, I play in ICU, I play for NICU for the babies, I play in emergency, I play in the side, just everything. It took me several years to break into some of these because they weren't sure about a harpist being in the hospital. But after a year or so, then I bought my little harp, which I really wanted to bring my big harp, and I could have since I drove, but I wasn't sure about the boat because I've never been here. So The recording that's in the bookstore is on my large harp, and it sounds much deeper and resonant, but I think this little harp will be fine. It's what I use in the hospital. So just a couple more words about the difference between a music therapist and a therapeutic musician. So I am not a music therapist. A music therapist is someone who has a degree in that, and they are more like an occupational therapist. So they work one-on-one with a patient, and they work towards a clinical goal, and it's charted. Sometimes the work that we do is charted, but not always, and we're not working towards a specific clinical goal. So that's the main difference. So what I do is I play at the bedside, and we're trained how to watch the patient, watch the signs of not only of their body, but of if they're hooked up, which in ICU, of course, most people are, to machines, and we watch the blood pressure, we watch the heart rate, and all of that, and then we adjust our playing. So on top of that, I also do healing services. I've done several at Trinity, and it's two different things and yet similar. So what I'm going to do today, what we are going to do is to have a sort of a combination of both of these. I will guide you on a meditation. It will be mostly music and sound. I've done a lot of these at the hospital for employees, but typically our lead chaplain, she does the guided meditation while I play. It's a team, but today I'll be doing everything. But I just want to sort of set you up for what the kind of music that you will hear. You might hear a melody, and other times you will not. I always improvise, so everything that you hear is just stuff that I've maybe played some of it, and some of it I create on the spot. So I decided when I did this work, I would never use music, because in a hospital situation, if you've got a harp plus a stand plus sheet music and all of that, so you really need to be able to improvise. So this is not entertainment music. If I tell people about my CD, I say it is not a party CD because it is very meditative, very quiet. So sometimes I play in rhythm, sometimes there is no rhythm, and so it just sort of ebbs and flows. So the other thing I wanted to mention before I start playing is that it's, you know, most of you have just eaten, it's the afternoon, and so the music tends to be very relaxing. So what I learned when I took mindfulness meditation is we think of falling awake rather than falling asleep. How many of you have done MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction? Has anyone here done that? Okay, one, two, three, okay. So I did TM for years, and then I switched, and I'm very happy with that switch. But I'm going to be, near the beginning, I will be doing, you will probably recognize these meditations. I will be doing one called the Mountain Meditation, and then towards the very end, I will be doing the Loving Kindness Meditation. But otherwise, it will be a lot of music. If you find yourself getting sleepy, which I can guarantee some of us will, just what I suggest is that you open your eyes if they're closed, and maybe just stretch your hands. And if you do fall asleep, that's fine too. That means your body really needs it. But if you are struggling to stay awake, you can move your feet and your hands. This isn't like a dirge or a death knell. You can move a little bit. And in fact, I would encourage you, if you want, these two meditations that I'm doing, some mindfulness meditations, they suggest lying down. But I would suggest that you remain seated, but you are welcome to lay down. You're probably more apt to go to sleep if you lay down, but you're welcome to do that because I play for meditations where people lay in the pew. So, and if you want to spread out a little bit too. So I think that's everything I wanted to say. Before we start, are there any questions? And we'll talk after we're finished to get some of your feedback of what you experienced. But before I begin, are there any questions? Yes. I'm not sure. I have until 3, and it probably will be less than an hour. It may be closer to 3. I guess it just sort of depends on, because I have nothing really. I mean, I have ideas, but I don't know exactly. But I will have a watch on the floor to keep time, but because I would like to leave some time at the end to get your feedback. Okay. So again, this is my little. Everyone asks me what this is in the hospital. Some people really don't know what it is, but this was made by Jeff Lewis. His company is Lewis Creek, and he is out of Michigan. And to me, this is the Rolls Royce of small arps. It looks very plain and simple, but I think for a small harp, it has a beautiful tone. But it's called a lap harp. It's a lever harp. This harp has many names: Celtic, Irish, folk, lever, and of course, then this one is on top of that. It's called a lap harp. So we will begin. So get situated if you want to be in a pew by yourself. Thank you.
So, as you're listening to the music, I want you to picture a big mountain, any mountain. It could be one here that surrounds this village, or it could be one in Nepal. It could be one that you just make up. Your mountain may have one majestic peak. Or it may have several. The mountain is large, strong, and still. Now I want you to watch and look at that mountain. Notice its triangular shape and its wide base. And now bring that mountain into sharp focus. Notice that it's covered with trees in some areas, and other areas, it's barren. The seasons come and go. Sometimes the mountain is white with snow. Sometimes the wind blows. And sometimes it is very still. Other times there are birds in the springtime flying around and singing. There are bees buzzing. There are streams flowing with the melted snow. The mountain doesn't seem to notice this. Deep down inside the mountain, all is still. No matter what is happening on the surface. Now bring that mountain into you. Just pretend that you and the mountain get closer and closer, and just bring it into your body and just pretend that you're the mountain. Your head is the peak of the mountain. Your body is the base of the mountain. So now you and the mountain are one. Sometimes tourists may come by, and they might exclaim how beautiful the mountain is. Other times, tourists might come and say, this is not a good day to see this mountain. It's too windy. It's too cold. It's too foggy. It's too dark. But this does not affect the mountain. The mountain is the mountain. We acknowledge that there are windy days, cloudy days, foggy days, thunderstorms. We acknowledge that sometimes there are beautiful days and other days are not so beautiful. But this does not affect us because at our base, in our core, we are who we are, and surface things in our lives pass, they come and go. And now I want you to picture yourself sitting where you are, and I want you in your mind's eye to see someone that you really love. Sitting and facing you. You love this person and you know this person loves you. And you smile at one another. It could be your spouse, a partner, an animal. And I want you to hold in your mind these thoughts and then send them to that person. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be comfortable. May you have peace. Send those thoughts to that person sitting there facing you that you love and who loves you. And now, imagine this person sending those same thoughts back to you. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be comfortable. May you find peace. Now let that person fade out of your mind for a moment. And now think of someone that you don't know quite as well. You see them, perhaps it's someone at the grocery store that you see regularly. Maybe it's the mailman or the mailwoman. And pretend you're facing them now, and you don't know them that well, but there's a comfortable feeling between you, and you send them these thoughts, knowing that it's what you would wish. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be comfortable. May you have peace. Now, if you'll go with me a little further, you may not have the same warmth and love, but I want you to face someone who you have a problem with. Maybe it's that coworker that gets on your nerves. Maybe it's a friend who you've had a falling out with. Maybe it's someone that has different political views than you do. And I want you to, in your mind, realize that even though you don't have this warm glow of feeling, that they are a human. They have the same wants and desires as you. And if you can, say to this person, may you be well. May you be comfortable. May you be happy. May you have peace. And now I want us to go a little further. And I want you to think of in your mind someone whom your affluency and your consumerism has hurt. Maybe that person doesn't have enough to eat. Maybe they are from a poorer place in the world than you are. Their skin may not be the same color as yours. And you look at that person and realize that the universe, God loves that person as much as God loves you. And say to that person, may you be happy. May you be well. May you be comfortable. May you have peace. And then take all of those people and all the people in your circle and expand it outward, the people you love, the people you like, the people you don't like, the people that you don't know, and the whole world. May we all be happy. May we all be well. May we all be comfortable. May we all have peace. So if you would like to open your eyes. And just take a minute or two to stretch a little bit. Okay, so welcome back. So at the end of every, not in the hospital, not when I'm playing for patients, but when the chaplain and I do one of these, or when I do one of these at the church, we always talk about it afterwards for anyone who wants to say something that they felt, something that they liked, something that annoyed them. If you fell asleep, or if you just went into a good place, if you went into a dark place. So anybody, and it, just speak out and don't be shy, and let's just talk. Yes. Can you all hear her? Okay. I don't know if that's, let me just hold this in front of you, possibly. Let's see if I can find another one.
I like it when we brought the mountain into us personally, because the core is strong. And at the base, there are trees, and then there's the top. And in the wintertime, when it snows, the part of me that is the tree gets laden down with the snow. And the snow keeps falling. And pretty soon the branches get more weak, heavy with the snow, till they're not up, they're not standing straight, they're lowering, and the tops of the trees even lower, and the snow is, it's so heavy that there's no way the tree can stand erect, but it's still a part of that mountain. And that's the winter time, but the spring is coming, and we'll melt that snow. And the snow and the creek might represent tears, mm-hmm. but then the springtime comes, the snow melts, and once again the tree stands erect, but the mountain is always there.
Yes. Thank you for sharing. Yes, the first time I heard that meditation, there are several that you learn in that. Well, I don't know the answer. But that one and the last one, those are the two that really spoke to me. And every time I hear someone else do them or I do them, it moves me in different ways. Anyone else? Yes. Oh, thanks.
My thought is coming, but the mountain for me is funny because I'm from the Pacific Northwest where all the mountains grew up, so I was conquering all these mountains. So, but I really enjoyed the ceiling because I was able to use it kind of as a labyrinth in every time.
Oh, good. Could you hear him? Yeah, it's...
I don't have access. I need to talk right into.
I really enjoyed hearing.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed doing this in this building with the sea.
ceiling was very nice. I used to use it as a labyrinth to look around and trace some of the shapes as you were playing.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Yes.
I'm going to try just to see if this will work.
I love guided meditation, but in this case, when you were just playing the harp in the background, it seemed like the perfect background to pray. So that's what I loved about it.
Yes, some people, I was at a place, I was not doing the meditation, someone else was, and they were tapping a drum very quietly. And it drove this one woman, after we talked about it, and she said it just drove her crazy. So some people like just the meditation, you know, TM, where there's no sound, no talking, no music. Guided meditation is typically just with speaking. And then there are these sound baths or heart baths, and I just tried to combine the two, and it seems to work for me, and it's what I, what I like to do. Anyone else? No, I don't have my glasses on, so I want to be sure I'm not missing anybody. Oh.
Try that handheld one more time.
Is this working now?
Yeah.
There. Okay. Speak right up. Put it right up.
I just want to thank you. I had a really terrible conflict with a family member before he left, and I really needed that tonight to visualize her. Thank you.
Sharing. Anybody else? Oh, okay. You have to put it right up to you.
At one point, I felt that there was tension in my neck. And it was just like, it was asking me to set it free. And I've done meditation, but I've never had anything like that. And so I moved my head, and it was like it was going off into the universe. And then I moved the other way, and then it went that way. So.
Great, thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Okay, I just want to say a couple of things about tomorrow and Thursday. So, tomorrow is a session on synesthesia and improvisation. I think it would be of interest to anyone because I'm going to have my oils. I'm also a certified aromatherapist. And oils, smells, color, when I hear sounds, when I see color, and especially when I smell, I hear melodies, or they come to my mind. And when the staff presenters yesterday, we were discussing our worship that we're planning on Thursday night. And I can't remember who was in that room. And I think it was Dr. Cynthia over here who said it was like, it was sounds coming from heaven that was just coming through you and out. And I really liked that image. I don't remember who it was that said that. But sometimes when I play in the hospital, I use anything to inspire me and that will create a melody. Sometimes it's a really annoying machine in NICU I've spent a lot of time in NICU, and there's some awful sounds in there from the machines, and sometimes that inspired me. So we're going to be discussing different things that can inspire you, not just in music necessarily, if you're not a musician, but to inspire you to write or to do some art or craft that you do. So it's how I sort of work in this and come up with all these different melodies through the use of synesthesia, and we'll talk about that word more. And then the last section, they're all at 1:30 today, of course, tomorrow and Thursday at 1:30, all in here. The last one is on how to use some of the techniques that I learned as a therapeutic musician and to use those in your own healing service. Or if you, there's a healing service in the Lutheran Book of Worship the ELW. and I have come up with one that I've used part of that as creating a healing service that that I have used, or that you could use at the bedside if you went to visit a friend or something. But yes, tomorrow we will be smelling oils and just having fun and with improvisation. So also, I have a CD. It's in the bookstore. It's on my larger harp, and it's every piece is my improvisation on an oil, one of the essential oils that inspired that music. And so I have all of those oils with me that I use, plus some others. And if you don't, a lot of people don't even use CDs anymore. So if you're interested, you can talk with me. The bookstore didn't want to deal with these. They look like a business card, and it has a code, so you can buy one of those too, and then you just download it on your phone. And I have those for sale. So, okay, well, thank you very much for coming, and I hope to see some of you, if not all of you, tomorrow. Yes?
Just a short question. How did the harp of heaven get joined together? I think of the harp of heaven.
Yeah, did you hear the question? He wanted to know how the harp and heaven got sort of associated. It goes back, you know, as far as I think the written word and oral stories too about higher beings having the harp. It's one of the most ancient instruments. And one of the reasons that it has such a depth and a diff, it's just different. A music therapist I was talking to said, you could be a serial killer, but if you've got a harp, people just think you're wonderful. And they just, and I've had people tell me, it's like an angel. This guy, I could tell he was joking a little bit, but he was in a hospital bed in ER, and he said, it's an angel. And I said, oh, trust me, I am no angel. And I try to make a joke out of it, because the staff sometimes will say, do you ever worry about people waking up out of, because I play in post-op, and they'll say, waking up and thinking they've died. And I said, and my answer is, well, wouldn't you rather wake up hearing a heart than wake up and being really hot? But there's a lot of people in this world, though. It's just a thing that we have, that the harp is a heavenly instrument. One of the reasons is that the harp has more overtones than any other instrument, because you've got so many strings. And I didn't do it today, but there is a way to play the harp where there's a technique and you get a bell-like tone, and it's actually not the pitch of that string. It's an octave above, and you can get a fifth above that. So you can imagine and it vibrates. So there's so many strings, and of course, especially on a large harp, that all you are hearing many sounds, even though you consciously are not aware of it. But that's one of the reasons that it has an appeal, one of the physical acoustic reasons why it's sort of different than a lot of other instruments. It has thousands of overtones. So, okay. All right, thank you. Have a good afternoon and evening.